الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, Al-Wahshi radiallahu anhu is amongst the illustrious Sahaba Kiram. In the early days, he had joined up with the Kuffar, promised freedom and to acquire and secure his freedom, he was asked to assassinate Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, which he had accomplished. The abdomen was slit, the liver was pulled out, and the eyes were gorged out of the sockets. You could well imagine how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must have felt on this occasion. Around the time, it was just one uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the one and only uncle who had accepted Islam. Hazrat Abbas Diyaran, who had accepted Islam many years later. Nonetheless, time is moving and it is now approaching the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. And after the treaty at Hudaybiyah, communications had opened out both ends, Makkah, Medina, Munawwara. There was some peace that was prevailing in that area. So that opened out communications. And with the opening up of communication, people had the opportunity to see Islam very closely, freely. They could communicate, they could find out, and they could see Islam firsthand. So the numbers began to swell, double, triple, many, many times the numbers began to multiply. Wahshi radiallahu anhu was observing what was going on, and he felt perhaps that if everybody is coming in, why must I get left out? So he wrote up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying, آيَةٌ فِي كِتَابِكْ تَمْنَعُونِ أَنْ أَدْخُلَ فِي دِينِكْ. There is a verse in your kitab that prevents me from entering into Islam. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. Believers, the true believers, Allah Ta'ala outlines the features, the characteristics of the true believers. One is they are not guilty of shirk. One is the shirk that we know of, like shirk jali, and the other is shirk khafi. Shirk jali we all relate to, we identify. Open shirk. Right? If it's a but, an idol, and you're bowing down to that. But many a times we get involved in the lighter version of shirk. Our hearts are attached to the businesses, to people, to such an extent that we feel that that business is giving you the prosperity. You're visiting a doctor, so the you feel that the doctor has got shifa in his hands, and you will blurt out this type of words that he gave me life again. Now, this is bringing you right to the edge of Islam. Though we know what you are referring to, But really the words are not right. That he gave me a life. He restored my life. On the one end, we read the fourth kalima, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd yuhyi wa yumeet. The fourth kalima, we are taught all the five kalimas, and this one basic kalima, praise belongs to him, kingdom belongs to him, life and death is both entirely in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, our belief just shifts, you know, he restored my life, he gave me my life. Instead of attributing it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you attribute all the success to the person. But you become so overwhelmed with the person. In the state of sickness, our relationship with Allah ta'ala must become even greater. Right? He is the one that gives life, he is the one that takes away life. And they say, "Chu musibat bini zood istighfarkum." When you see a problem, then rush towards making istighfar. Okay, musibat ba amr khuda ba'id. When you see a musibat, a problem, this problem comes by the command of Allah Ta'ala. So he brings it, and he can shift it as well. So when it is in his control, he brings it, and when he wants and when he desires, he can remove it as well. One person, very great buzrug of his time, Al-Mu'ad Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, had passed the fatwa of the crow meat being permissible in halal. And the crow, you get three types. What we see here is a different type of crow, but overall there are three types. India you see another type, here you see another type. The one that we see here has got some white patch on the abdomen, right? This is the one that we see generally. But in India you find a different version, total black. So the characteristics are also different. The one that is called the patch, white patch on the abdomen, the thing eats meat mainly, like a vulture, right? So it's eating haram, so the meat also will be haram. And the one that you see in India is total black, that generally lives off grains only, like how you get our chicken, only lives off grain, so that thing lives off grain. So that is permissible. Because it lives off grain only. It doesn't live off haram. Maybe something comes in its way, it may eat it, but that's not the staple diet. Staple diet is grain. Like how you get your chicken, staple diet is chicken, is grain. You may see something and just gobble the thing, but that's not the staple diet. So Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah passed the fatwa that this is permissible to eat. Now, this saintly person living somewhere, right, Purnia somewhere, so, he said, something came out from his tongue, he says, "Aaj to kawwe ko halal kar diya, to kal cheel, suvar wagera ko bhi halal kar denge." Today, he's passed the fatwa that a crow is permissible to eat, and tomorrow, maybe a falcon, and maybe a swine, and all this may be permissible. So, as he blurted out these words, he saw in a day or 2 days, then there was a difference in him. Now, we see a fluctuation in our spiritual selves coming up, and then suddenly we're just going down. That motivation, that drive that was in us, that is going down, and then sometimes coming up again, and again it's coming down. Now, this is not a healthy state. You know, they talk of a sugar patient, that if the sugar is spiking all the time, then it can be dangerous. Then it can lead to your organ failure. That's what the doctors will tell you, right? So you have to manage it and see that it is consistent. So the same happens with guna, that if that thing is, you know, fluctuating all the time, then you may hit such a ground sometimes, and for you to stand up thereafter becomes difficult. You hit such a rock, such a sin, such an act of disobedience, that for you to get up after that may become difficult. So as you have got some grounds, and you have got some understanding, and you're progressing, now, you need to be much more careful, because you're at a different level. You're not at the formative and at the primary level. You have gained some speed, you have gained some grounds, progress. When you have progress now, look after that. A small child cannot be treated, an adult cannot be treated exactly like a child. Child makes a mistake, we overlook it, we don't make a noise about it. 2-3-year-old child, if he pulls his father's beard and pulls his topi and smacks the father, father will kiss the child's head or hand, right? Well, he knows his age and he'll say, oh, how cute this child is, right? But if a 25-year-old child does the same thing, pulls the father's topi out, pulls the beard, give him a smack, father will give him a kick and throw him out. So, you are treated differently. As you are escalating, you are moving up, then you need to become more cautious. More cautious. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayhi was traveling with some of his friends, students, murids, etc. And one of his followers, they saw a youngster with a little bit handsome features. Christian youngster with very handsome features. So this youngster that was in the group, he says, he saw this Christian and he saw him with that handsome features. He says, will Allah Ta'ala put this face into Jahannam? So the Junaid made out exactly what was going on. So he says, did you admire this child? He says, yes. But then, uska mazaa chak loge, you will see the consequence of this. Then it took about 20 some odd years, he had forgotten the entire Quran Sharif, from page to page, from one page to the end, it's forgotten entirely. So, when you stumbled, you made a mistake. You can see now you've made a mistake. So, don't become stubborn, don't persist in the wrong, and don't look for excuses to cover yourself. So, Allah says, لَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ. But Allah doesn't accept the tawbah of that person who persists, goes on and on. يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ, carry on, حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ, until death approaches. The two stumbling blocks in the way of tawbah, one is that we are too casual about it, we don't think much about it. Istighfaf, don't think much about it. Now don't look at the how small the sin is, but look at it from this perspective, that whose law is being transgressed. Looking at it from this perspective that it's a small sin, it's alright, not a problem, right? But did you look at it from this perspective that this is amounting to the transgression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do you ever think, do you ever consider that? Now, the pious of the past, they were so cautious about it. One pious person, he raised up his head and he sees some beautiful woman. He says, by raising my head, this is the mistake that I've made. There was no need, there was no business. I didn't have no business to look there. So he says, for the rest of my life, I'm not going to look up. But this was where I slipped, although it's an accidental glance. But an accident is an accident. Sometimes an accident can be fatal. Right? This is what it led up to. That I seen this and that picture is imprinted in my heart. Now that can be dangerous afterwards. Now we consider this to be small, insignificant, not a train smash, not a big deal, this is what type of words we will use, just to cover us. So this Allah doesn't like. That is why they say that a sin is a qasim, it leads you to kufr eventually. Small, 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 carry on. And then it comes to a point where you become brazen, you become blatant, and you just defy. See, shaitan also just defied. Aba was takbar. He denied, and he was haughty about it. So what's wrong? If I did this, what's the problem? See, now this attitude Allah doesn't like. This is that sign of disbelief. So, one is a person who's doing a wrong, and he's very remorseful about it, and he wants to turn a leaf, he wants to correct himself. But the other is that the person is blatant, is brazen about it, he just goes about doing things. Otherwise, if he's not brazen, then he's looking for ways to justify the wrong that he's doing. One person tells me that I listen to music, but you know what, I don't listen to the beat, and the drum, and the flute, and all this thing. I don't listen to all that. I just look at the beautiful words, you know. Now, you see how they justify. You're doing a wrong, But you're justifying the wrong. Wrong is wrong by you're eating haram, you're eating goo, say you're eating shit. Eating the dirt and filth, say you're eating filth. But now you cover that filth with something and say, no, I'm eating something right. The Christians, that's how they messed up the old religion. The pork was that concentrated suris, right? Sorry for using that word, but it's concentrated suris. And they justified it, no, it's really very hygienic conditions, etc. Therefore, this is not the pork that the Bible declares as forbidden. And then the whole saying, everybody, whether the Papa or the Papu, everybody is eating it. Whoever, everybody is eating it. But you see how it started off? They justified. And with the justifying process, that which the text of the Bible says is haram and forbidden, now that became permissible, kosher, that the highest to the lowest, everybody is enjoying it. Shaitan also did the same. He tried to justify. Now this is a sickness of the day. We try and appease our conscience by justifying. You see the man, don't consume interest. He says, no, I'm just taking a return on my investment. But he says, I'm just taking a profit on my investment. I put some money here, this is a return I'm taking. So now he covered the sin and covered it so well. Now he feels that he covered it and he can bluff Allah with it. He can bluff you, he can deceive you, he can mislead the other person. But is there any person that can mislead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? With your smartness, with your shrewdness, can you outsmart Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The right way is where, like what your father did, and he said, Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Allah Pak, I'm wrong, I messed it up. I acknowledge I'm wrong. I'm totally wrong, I'm 100% new al-Islam. Imagine, he just made dua for his son. He made dua for his son, and Allah Ta'ala warned him, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكِ. He is not of your household. Right? But mistakenly he made dua for his son. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكِ. إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٍ فَلَا تَسْأَلْنِي مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِعِلٍ. He is not your family. Because he's not conforming with your standards, so he's not of your household. That means your household is that person that conforms with your standards, with standards of Islam. If he doesn't conform, then he's not belonging to you. But now look at the response of New Islam's immediate response. Immediate response is, Rabbi inni a'uzubika an as'alaka ma laysa li bihi ilm, wa illa taghfir li wa tarhamni akum min al-khasirin. Allah Ta'ala, I ask your forgiveness, that I ask you of things that I don't have knowledge. And if you don't cover me with your forgiveness and mercy, I'll be gone. Immediate response. You don't say, Allah Ta'ala, this is what I meant. I meant for his hidayat, and I thought like this, and I believe it to be like this. He didn't make up a story, no cover-up story. وَإِلَّا تَغْفِرْ لِي وَتَرْحَمْنِي أَكُمْ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Allah Ta'ala, you don't cover me with your mercy and your forgiveness, I'll be gone. I'll be a loser entirely. So Allah Pak likes this. When a person covers up, no, I'm just looking, I'm just listening to the words. Just listening to the words. People make all type of ways to justify. They look at a girl or a youngster, say, no, I'm looking at the beauty or the reflection of Allah Ta'ala. See, Allah Ta'ala's beauty is reflecting on this youngster, on this girl. Now, Shaitan has got him so deep. He's using Allah Pak's name also, just to justify the wrong that he is doing. Now this is very dangerous. This is the wrong of the day, that we will do the wrong and we look for a way to justify, make a plan, and try and justify it, appease our conscience and maintain our respect amongst people. Nobody may think that we are doing wrong. I ask you a straightforward question. Who is your Allah? Are they the people or is it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If it is Allah ta'ala, that's the primary person that you're supposed to be concerned about. Not public opinion. Public opinion is a secondary thing. You're not worshipping them. They're not your God. So whether they conform, they agree, they accept or they reject, it's not your business. Yes, is Allah Ta'ala pleased or not? Is Allah Ta'ala happy or Allah Ta'ala is displeased? The rest will come in time. They will fall in place in time. Whenever they fall in place, they will happen in time.
But is Allah Ta'ala happy or is He displeased? That's the primary concern. So I explained that this is the two major problems. One is we go on persisting on a wrong. لَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ So you go on. And how you go on persisting on a wrong? One is you will give a justification. You will justify, you will give an explanation to the wrong that you have done, right? And number two, you consider the wrong to be insignificant. So, therefore, Ulama have explained, the more insignificant you consider a sin to be, the more serious it becomes. It's a small sin, but you consider it to be insignificant, small, nothing. Right? Look at it. A small snake and a big snake, both have got a venom, right? And both are potential danger, whether it's a small snake or it's a big snake. If your child is confronted with a snake, you don't say, it's a small snake, it's alright, don't worry about it. You say that. It's a small fire or a big fire. Both have the potential of an inferno, right? The small fire can also be disastrous as the big fire. I say, no, it's not a big fire, a small thing, don't worry about it. And then if that thing raises the whole building to the ground then, so whether it's small or big, look at the sin from this perspective, kiski nafarmani ho rahi hai, who are we disobeying? So Aisha radiyallahu anha, she writes up to her Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, but the Sahaba Ikram's hearts were so good, so clean, so beautiful, right? He's the Amir. He's probably elder than Aisha. But in spite of his authority, in spite of his position, that doesn't stop him, let me ask advice. As Aisha, she doesn't pull back. She wants to advise, she gives him the advice that is appropriate. She doesn't think now, he is from this position here, now I need to be very careful of how I will address him. He's a very good person, he's doing very good work, and just keep it up, you know, you're looking after the people. So where she needs to say it, she will say it. See, our approach is all changing. When a person has got some account, then we talk in a different way. He's got some digits, then we talk to him differently. The poor person, well, hey, you know, you better straighten up, you know. Correct yourself now, too much dhula you're making. And so, yeah, no, this is a mota now, you know. You have to be a little bit more careful about how we address him. But I ask you, is the God the same? Or is it different? He is worshipping someone else, and is he worshipping someone else? So the Aisha is making it plain. So she says to Muawiyah radiyallahu anhu, remember when a person commits a wrong, what happens? Then the people that you praise, you would praise him, now they begin to disgrace him. Now you've seen a whole somersault in the attitudes of people, now they were all praising me, and in a moment they are disgracing me. Habib Ajami rahmatullah alayhi became a very saintly person afterwards. So there is no despair, there is no despondency in this path. But he was involved usually soaked, drowned. Such a big usurer. Hazrati Rahmatullah used to speak about him, that if you don't have that amount to serve the installment for that month, so he'll come to your house, yes, I want to eat that installment, I don't have it. So you see the whole pot being prepared, the hungry children, wife, husband, everybody waiting for the pot, takes the whole pot away. And doubles the price. How this interest works. But as you delay, then the numbers also will just escalate. As you delay the payment, everything just escalates, right? So he was so hard-hearted. Now he's walking on a path, and the children playing around, he saw Habib Ajami. When he saw that Habib Ajami, he said, hey, children, move away. If only the shadow of this Habib Ajami falls on you, you will be destroyed. He is such a usurer. So usury was considered so disgusting in that side, in that zamana. Even the children, they found it disgusting. Now, the man has got usury. He's a director of the bank. He's a director of the bank, you know, this bank here, that bank. You know, show him some respect. But by the same token, I ask you, if the person is a director of a piggery, right, will you show any respect? Hey, what's wrong? What a person you brought here. But I ask you, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, is there any difference? Director of the bank and director of the piggery, Are they any different? But now we look for ways somehow justify. But you know, it was a profit on returns, and they were doing some lot of investments, and this is how it happened and all that. So we'll give a lot of justification just to prove the person, somehow to prove him right. Whereas the warnings that are sounded for incest is far in excess of the warnings about pig. There is like 36 times in a fornication. Imagine a person 36 times is involved, right? So no person feels indifferent towards it. But yes, as pig, we feel very, very indifferent towards it. But in the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's totally different. Allah is saying that poor usurer, then he is declaring a war with Allah ta'ala. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. He is declaring a war with Allah ta'ala. Now just try and look at the verse of the Quran. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا. That if you are not prepared, don't want to do this, then you be ready for a war against me. Take notice of a war against me. I ask you, if Allah Ta'ala declares war against anybody, can anything work out for him? I ask you, anything can it work out for him? That Allah Ta'ala has declared, openly announced, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا. I'm announcing war against you. Can anything work out in his life? Nothing can work out. He'll be bare chest, everything, all the problems will be in his life. Everything will go wrong. So, when it comes to wealth, then our reasoning takes a somersault. We can't reason after that. That wealth is so, it's drowning us to such a point that it's clouding our reasoning. One youngster was here, so he's talking to me about his sister, right? So, they're very wealthy, very, very wealthy, so they admitted the sister to some school. Whatever, so after a year or 6 months, so they came together and all that. So he's talking to his sister, how's the school? So, no, it's a very great school, and you know, the standards are very high, not like these ordinary schools, not like the ordinary private schools. It's so high. But how's the talim, how's the education? So he said, no, the first week that I was attending the school, and I wanted to go to the toilet, so I raised my hands. The teacher said, no, this is an open plan. You want to leave, you can go. You don't need to notify me before you leaving. You can go as you leave. So, all right, then what does they teach you? So now they encourage a lot of discussions, debates and discussion. But the brother asks him, all right, ask the sister. You say they openly encourage discussions. They encourage discussions. So what topics they give you? Religion? Yeah, religion, everything they give you. Satanism, Christianity, what else? Whatever. All right, now say for example, so you have to support Satanism or Christianity, right? Now you're speaking in favor of Satanism. Say Shaitan is God, for example, right? So now what will you do? Do you have the right to say, no, I want to walk out of this division? You don't have a right. Then what do they tell you? What instruction they give you? The instruction they give you is leave your religion aside and support the topic. That means if the topic is Satanism, you leave your religion aside and you must support the topic. So I ask the person a simple question. Say, for example, you were supporting the topic and you say Satanism, and you know, I live for Satanism, I worship Satan, for example. And just then, Malakul Maut took your death, took your life. I ask you, have you died correctly? Or you said Christ, I support Christ, I support Christianity. And just then, Malakul Maut decided to take away your life. I ask you, do you die correctly? He said, no, but you know, if she goes to the school, the career that she will take up and the profession that she will get, the money that will come out of this, you know. So it's a money race, money madness, money. Paying about R1 million a year for the school, but I say what is coming out is pure suri that is coming out. What is coming out? They lost the iman, everything is gone. Everything is gone. Is there anything left, any vestige of iman left? See, so that guna, that sin, that transgression is treated very lightly, very, very lightly. And we can't claim for ourselves also that we are any better, because we are sending our schools, we are sending our children to schools, and the schools are teaching them Darwinism, again, against Allah Ta'ala. Wipe out the concept of Allah Ta'ala. And no parent has got the decency to go and challenge this, to correct this. Go on, it's your problem. So as a community, you need to go and correct it, rectify it, some way that this is going directly against our faith. So you go and amend the whole curriculum. It's your duty. It's not just an optional thing. Because if this thing is imprinted into your child's heart, Darwinism, then he doesn't believe you that, Ya Bani Adam, Allah will rescue the son of Adam alayhi salam. Now you're saying, Ya Bani Bandar. Is it a fact or not? Allah is saying, Ya Bani Adam, he's honored you, and this man has disgraced you, and you want to go with that disgrace, you want to go with that humiliation, and imprinting it into the heart of the child. We're seeing on biology paper, you know, matric level, the marks that was given for this Darwinism was about 45 or something, out of 120. So about 1/3 of the mark was just dedicated to this. So for you to qualify for that marks, imagine, the child had to do that type of studies, and write in support of that, right? So can you tell me that the child won't be affected? His impressionable young mind will he not be impressed? He won't only be impressed. So the Aisha is warning as Muawiyah, that the people that loved you, now they begin to hate you. People that used to praise you will begin to disgrace you. See, it's not a small thing. It's transgression, sin. Therefore they say, Qab Qurazi rahmatullahi says, the greatest ibadat that a man can think about is abstinence, to leave out wrong. And the worst wrong is to consider the wrong to be insignificant. You have some reason, what's wrong? That man is talking against deen, what's wrong? He's listening to music, what's wrong? Watching television, what's wrong? Everything, what's wrong? Not so bad. So, the worst transgression is to consider the sin to be insignificant. And the greatest ibadat is absence. You know, it's a doubtful area. I'm not sure about this. I'm not clear about this. So I guarded myself that that's the best ibadat. Remember, when a sin is committed, when we're talking about fluctuations, going, spiking all the time. So when the sin is committed, it leaves a black impression on the heart. If you make tawbah, that thing is washed out. But if you left out tawbah, you didn't make tawbah in time, then that blackness, then it overwhelms the entire heart. When it overwhelms the heart, then no good can penetrate. Good ones will come in, it can't penetrate, can't get through your heart. So that is why the poet says, through musibat bini, zood istighfar kun. When you see a wrong, when you see a problem in your life, then rush towards making tawbah. Okay. Musibat as amr-e khuda bayad. This musibat that comes, the problem that comes, they come by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first level of correction is to acknowledge, to confess sincerely, I am wrong. That's the first level. I'm wrong, I messed it up, I'm really remorseful for the wrong that I've done. Allah Ta'ala, what favors you have showered upon me, and I'm not appreciating. The more you're giving me your favors, you're blessing me with your favors, I'm using your favors to do haram. You're giving me wealth, then I'm using it to do haram. You bless me with eyes, and I use it to do haram. You know, say you are an optician, right? And you gave someone, the optician gave his friend a nice, beautiful pair of glasses, right? Now, the person that you gifted the glass to, he finds an opportunity to look at your wife, young, beautiful wife. Yeah? And he carries on looking. What do you do? Will you ever think of giving another pair of glasses? If it was possible for you to take it away, what you would have done? You would have taken it away. Right? Now, all people are like Allah Pak's children. And Allah Pak bless you with that eyes. Now, I ask you, isn't that shameful that He blessed you with that eyes? The same eyes that He blessed, you are using it to transgress, using it to trespass the limits. Is it not shameful? He gave it. And the gift that He gave, we're using the same gift to go against Him. How shameful it can be. How embarrassing. Allah gave you this. But by the same token, look at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that you are doing the wrong, but He doesn't punish you immediately. So alright, now my banda hai, I'll give some respite. Let him think now. Why don't you think? See, I feel in this day, the two wrongs that we have done, one is this, that we consider the wrong to be too simple, too insignificant. We didn't consider the fact that it amounts to transgression of which person. Number two, we are appeasing ourselves by justifying. We are appeasing ourselves by justifying. Number three, the wrong that we have done is we don't take out the time to reflect and think, understand what we're doing, you know, which direction we're taking. We got the time to consult with everybody else. My finances, I need to go and talk to a business consultant, you know. I got big money, tons of money I got, I must talk. Otherwise, I'm going the wrong direction. But did we take out the time to go and find out that my passage to Jannat, is that right, or is it being interrupted? Did we ever take out the time? That I'm going every day, we hear, this person is gone, that person is gone, so young person, and so young person, and he's gone. Don't we hear this type of stories? Or someone phoned some days back, 32-year-old person passed away, right? Young person, 32-year-old. Now look how crazy we are, right? He got married to a convert, right? Now the convert is phoning, and she's saying that, alright, so I've been married with this person here, I got 2-3 children from him. Now, the family of the deceased, they are more concerned about his property, and he's quite a wealthy person, for that age, quite a wealthy person. He got his property, and they want to take everything away, and under some beautiful pretext of leaving on the flat, me and my children must just live like that. I must live with a small flat and take away all the big wealth, all the property of his, must take it away. Now, that was the time to show true Islam, true character, true values. But now, the man died, and the greater concern is, how do we take away the property, put into our name? And in a respectable manner. That's all what we need to do. In a respectable manner, we need to go and sign this thing here now. What do we do? So I tell that convert woman, see, you go through a legal process, we'll see how you secure the wealth. Because not just you. What about your infant children? Tomorrow they will come up, and you got nothing for them. And you got a son, and you got a wife, and the deceased got no parents. So it belongs just to you and your children. Nobody else. Nobody has got a justifiable claim in your property, in your assets. But you see how you lose the thing. So we don't take the time to find out, understand, reflect. One person sitting on one end is the Qabristan, and the other end is a dump. Like you've seen eastern countries, villages, so there'll be a Qabristan, and at a distance there'll be a dump. So all the dirt of the town, old clothing, furniture, and everything else, all your comforts, you know, all the comforts that you had eaten, all that, all the sewage, everything is on one side, and one side is Qabristan, bodies lying. So, one saintly person is passing that way, and he says, what a beautiful spot to be sitting and reflecting. Because one is the end of mankind. One is the end of mankind. Right? And one is the end of all his comforts. All he's been eating and enjoying, all that, that's the end of it. You know, I was sharing it with the students this morning. I said, see, we become so concerned of preserving this body here. Go to the best doctor, physician, go and do some gymming, running. And we'll take our women also. We'll take them to go and do cycling at the beachfront. Let all the kuffar admire our women. It's alright, no, she's covered. But let them all, keep them in the open, let them go to the cycling and all that, right? So for this preservation of this body here, we do so much. Let them cycle, let them jog, let them walk, let everybody admire them, right? You know, they say, first you will admire. It's woman or whatever, first you will admire. Then, after admiring, then you will try to acquire. It doesn't end. You admire first, then you want to acquire that. So you see this mixed marriage is where it starts off from. So for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, if we know what's good for us, right, we don't justify the wrong. Wrong is wrong. Consider the wrong to be wrong. Otherwise, there's no iman. You know, you get that hadith about that Hafiz and his parents will be crowned, right? So in that same hadith is أَحَلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرَّمَ حَرَامَهُ. Provided halal, what Allah has declared halal, you must consider it, believe it to be halal. Don't justify it. Don't try and make explanations for that. And what he has declared as haram, then you also must treat it as haram. Don't look for loopholes. That is a condition that goes with it. Right. So this person is sitting here, I'm explaining the class, you know, that you did so much for your body, for the preservation, for the continuity, for sustaining the body, so much you did. Went here, went to America, this place, that place, that, what, for a better body, to be better healthy and, you know, healthy, nice, happy and all that, right? But just take yourself 2 days into the grave and see what happens to this body. So much you spent, so much you did just for the preservation, the beauty, the sustaining of this body, but in 2 days inside the grave and see what your body is like. And I had to see a body that, the body was, it was a long weekend, right? And the body was dumped into the house, nobody looking at the person. The third day or fourth day, they opened the house and they saw the decomposed body, right? And you know, the own friends, own parents and the friends don't want to see the body decomposed. So just 2 days into the grave, nobody wants to see you. You know, all the money that you spent, all the effort that you put towards it, everything you did for it, but 2-3 days into the grave, and nobody wants to see you. Then what continues after that is your spiritual self. The physical self, it ends up decayed, rotten, nobody wants to see you, nobody wants to be close to you. So what is your vehicle from that point? The vehicle from that point is your spiritual self. What amal you did, what good you did, that is the thing that will carry you. So this Buzhrug is saying, what a beautiful place to be around, just to ponder, reflect. So this is a great wrong that we have done today. I showed you the first two wrongs. And the third wrong that we have done, we are all guilty, that we don't take the time to ponder, to reflect, to understand, put things in place. You know, a thing fetches its value when it's put in place. Child doesn't know about a diamond, he's playing with it like marbles. He knows what's the value of it, doesn't know. So if it's placed, it's put in its place by the one that evaluates it, he knows what it is like. But the person that doesn't know, he displaces it, he lost the value. So same with deen also. If you understand deen, you know what to place, where to place, how to place. What to place, where to place, and how to place. One great Buzhrug of Pakistan, he says, I changed my life when I saw a small tabligh jamaat. All villages, they know nothing about town life, nothing about urban life. Absolutely came from the sticks. But I changed my life because of that person. So we asked him, but what caused you the change? You see, that villager, simple people came to the masjid, speaking about simple 6 points. I observed them, something touched my heart, I observed them. But the second day I saw one old villager, doesn't know anything about urban life, language or pride, nothing, absolutely. But I saw him, helter-skelter, moving from one end to the other, and he's really disturbed. So I asked him, Chacha, all fairness, I'm from the place, you from the outside, you don't know, can I help you? What's your problem? He says, no, I lost my miswak. So I said, Chacha, what's wrong? If you lost your miswak, your namaz will be still valid. Arey Baba, that old man is telling me, he's an educated Sheikh Uladi, such a big person, right? He says, Arey Baba, so, wuzu miswak ke saath kya jata hai? Wuzu that is done with miswak, it multiplies 70 times. Now I'm going to miss out my sawab. It's only half an hour left for namaz. The Chacha is saying, it's only half an hour left for namaz. And how long, how many minutes before do we start preparing for namaz? He's in the jamaat, he's in the masjid, and half an hour before the time, he's thinking, hey, I must get my miswak. I must get my miswak. I'm going to lose all this now. But you see the concern. Now, this concern comes when you reflect. When you think, alright, what am I heading to? What is the spiritual self? What is the physical self? What progress have I made here? What progress have I made here? Have I rectified? Have I corrected or not? So this concern, we're talking about Wahshi radiallahu anhu, crime that is committed, and he says to the reason, this is a verse in the Quran Sharif that is preventing me from entering into your deen. I'm guilty of all the three crimes. Shirk, I spoke about shirk and shirk and khafi, right? Then I spoke, the second thing that I'm wrong of is murder. وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ. And the third thing I'm guilty of is fornication. All three I miss myself. Is there any room for me in Islam? I have committed all three. Is there any room for me? No. On the one end, look at the crime. Gruesome, mutilated, memories, calling back all the memories. Then it is the personification of rahmat and mercy. Embodiment of compassion and love. He's asking this person here, is there any room for me? But now, look at the personality of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Man did such a crime, he still got the heart to ask a person like Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is there any scope for me? Now that's called akhlaq, that's called a person, that's called a man. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, with all his shortcomings, Nabi Sallam is concerned about him. Ek meri ummati hai. And what's going to happen to him? So he's concerned. Upon his concern, the verse comes, illa man taba wa amana wa amila salihan wa amila amalan salihan fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. Meet tawbah. Right. So the first level of tawbah is to show remorse, to accept the wrong. Abu laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu bi dhanbi, is not to justify, not to appease your conscience. No. It is to accept, I did the wrong, I'm 100% guilty about it. I'm sure I did the wrong, so I accept my wrong, and I confess. So, confession is not to be done like the priest, you know, you come weekly, come to the papa, say, oh, I did this wrong, I did wrong. So the priest should tell you, alright, you paid your tithes, pay the 10%, right, everything is marked, go for next week. So he's not worried about the payout, what is he worried about? So don't make your mashayikh like that as well. That you come and confess, give a gift, and next week you carry on now. Aren't we converting the whole thing? Came here, now he's giving the respect and all that. So confessed I was wrong, we did this wrong here. Gave a gift. And the shaykh said, alright, don't do it again. Next week we carry on. So is there any difference then? No difference. So you confess, accept, acknowledge the wrong, I messed it up. And then the second leg to the forgiveness, second part of it, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then they try to rectify themselves. They try to correct yourself. I've done a wrong. Now what is the rectification process? What is the rectification process? There must be a rectification. I've messed it up. So is there any way to rectify? Is there any way to correct myself? So the second second leg of tawbah is to try to rectify, correct yourself. And Allah likes this. A person is rectifying, working towards correcting himself. Alright, you can't do everything overnight, but you're in the process trying to correct. You're worried, you're concerned, you're overwhelmed. When you think about your past or whatever, at night it brings you tears. Yes, deliberately don't think about the finer aspects of your sin. Our Mashayikh says, what? That deliberately don't think about the finer details of your sin. Why? Because say for example you had a girlfriend 20 years ago. Yeah, then what? You know, guna. And then your mind will start playing with you. Yeah, but you know, she was like this. You know? So that thinking about the details, finer details of the sin will again stir up those feelings against you. Just overall, say, Allah, make me maaf. I messed it up. The sins that I know, sins I've forgotten, whatever, but Allah forgive me. So don't think about the finer details about this of the guna that you have done. Overall, the guna that I've done, very big. You know. But Allah Ta'ala, that sin in your presence, nothing. For me, obviously, transgressing is a serious thing. But your tawbah is far more in excess than the wrong that I've done. إِنَّ مَغْفِرَتَكَ أَوْسَعُ لِي مِنْ ذُنُوبِي وَرَحْمَتُكَ أَرْجَ عِنْدِي مِنْ عَمَلِي. Your mercy is far greater than my deed. Your forgiveness is far in excess than the crime that I've committed. Your mercy is so extensive. So Allah Ta'ala, in your mercy, let your mercy overwhelm me. Let it overtake me. Overwhelm me with your mercy. I know I messed it up. But your mercy is too much. So you're trying to look for a way to rectify. So Allah Ta'ala says, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Now look at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. He says, provided you are correcting yourself, looking for ways to correct yourself, you sure, alright, it takes time, but you are consistent, looking for ways. Make namaz qaza, you're trying to make all that namaz right. You hurt someone, so you're trying to rectify. You robbed someone and cheated someone, so you're rectifying it. Right? So Allah Ta'ala says, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. Then your gunas, I will change it for hasanat, for rewards. Alright, this guna you did, you robbed this person here. You tried your best to pay him and correct him and everything. For that, I'm giving you 10 palaces in Jannah. Show me, can there be a Rahim Aqa like this? Can be a God as Rahim as Allah Ta'ala? Then you just try to correct yourself, rectify, put procedures in place, you try to do it, right? But he loves it so much that you were remorseful, you tried to rectify the wrong, you tried your best to correct yourself, and Lalabhak is so pleased Lalabhak is. Can you find an Aka like this? Can you find a Rab like this? So merciful, so compassionate, so loving to his servants. But is there any taker? Again I say this, is there any taker? Is there anyone that's coming in? Lalabhak says, my doors are open, my mercy is open, the gates are all open. But is there anyone that's wanting to come in? فَوْلَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. See procedure, how important. When ant was crying, bitterly, very, very bitter about what he did, you know, bitter about itself, insignificance, so small, and sab madine ko gaye, hum reh gaye. Seeing as the Muslim of Hajj, everybody, someone is flying to Medina, someone is going to Makkah, and I am insignificant like an ant, can't move. Even if I travel, how am I going to cross the ocean to get to Medina? That thing is crying. A poor falcon came around, say, brother ant, why are you crying? Sympathize with you, what are you crying for? Say, no man, everybody is going, someone is flying to Medina, someone is going to Makkah, Mukarrama, an insignificant thing like me. Will I ever get the chance to be at these places? Allah Ta'ala include us in the righteousness, in the virtue of all these hadis that have gone. With the hadis or the in Medina, Allah Ta'ala include us in all the good that they are doing. So the falcon says, see, I am a high flyer. I fly at the speed of 380 k's an hour. Fly so fast. And within about 3-4 days, I'll be there in Medina. 3-4 days in Makkah, I'll be there. I'll take you for the whole ziyarat, I'll show you everything, the works I'll show you. But then you must conform to the procedure. Then you don't disagree, you must conform to the procedure, and you'll be there. Alright, what's the procedure? You must tuck yourself deep into my feathers. Right? It'll take me 3-4 days, but you'll reach there. You must tuck yourself deep into my feathers. Number two, then, because I will take time to get there, then you mustn't turn around saying, oh, I need to have a stroll, take a walk, breathe the fresh air and oxygen and all that. Don't say all these things here. You just remain tucked up. If you could follow the procedure, you will get there. And if you are not willing to follow procedure, then don't join me. Now if the ant comes up, right, I say one day, I'm just stuck here in the feathers here, I'm miserable like this. You know, what a miserable, frustrating life. Let me take a stroll. Now, in the meanwhile, the falcon is going past the Atlantic. And this ant is thinking of taking a stroll. What will happen? Finish, class. Dive, and never to come up again. So, there is a procedure in rectification. You're going to go to your mashayikh. Sometimes they may ask you to leave out something that may be permissible, of a permissible nature. For example, they'll tell you, alright, don't get into discussions with people unnecessarily. Unnecessarily, there's no real need to go and discuss topics, what happened now, what is in the WhatsApp, read all that, right? And what's he talking about, which Mawlana came in, and who is a debatable person. Leave all these discussions, don't get into any discussion. You think for a moment, discussion and to be critical is such a great thing. And your mind opens up and all that. How can he stop me from all these type of things? He's backwards now. He wants to keep everybody backwards. Because he's backwards now, he's jealous of us, so he doesn't want us to progress. He must find out why this person, what is the controversy about? In the meanwhile, when you got into the controversy, you plunge yourself so deep that you can't pull yourself out. He's wrong, and this Mawlana is not right, and that person is right. So you plunge yourself so deep, then now to get up out of the whole thing becomes a problem. You can't get out. You went in nicely, like a brave thing, like an intelligent thing. But now to get up, to remove yourself from the danger, is it an easy task? It's too difficult now. Lacking all this here, all the wrong, all the filth. See. فَوْلَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. You're talking of that person that spoke against Muhammad Gangui rahmatullahi, you know. So he sees in himself that, you know, just now I was flying so high, everything was moving so well, and suddenly now I'm engulfed in darkness, I can't move. There's no motivation in me. Right? He's going to this Buzrug, he's going to that person, and the third person, and the fourth person. But he, you know, I was moving so well, and there was speed, and I was just covering distances, I was moving, and now suddenly I'm just covered in darkness. What happened? So this Buzrug told him, you know what, perhaps kisi ke shan mein tune gustakhi ki. You have dishonored and disrespected some Buzrug. Until that Buzrug doesn't forgive you, you will remain stuck in this, at this spot. You don't want to move. See, I'm saying, sometimes the Buzrug Anuddin will try, don't get your discussion. Futile discussion, talks, debates, leave that out. Now, everyone likes this debate, Amma Didar. Everyone likes all these type of things. Right? Now, leave him, maybe there was a need at that time, and he was capable of handling those situations. But it doesn't mean that a seal diver is expert, right? If he can do it, you can do it. He went through the training, he went through everything, and he preserved himself. But are you at that level? So don't imitate, don't copy him when you're not at that level. So anyway, this appeal to him, you know, I messed it up, this is where I went wrong. And immediately, he set off for Gango. So I messed it up with him, I spoke something against his reputation, against his respect. It's, in all fairness, I need to go and ask him for a maaf. So he went there, Muhammad says, sab maafe dil saafe. You didn't have to make a long story. See how this is so great there. The hearts are so good. Everything is forgiven, my heart is clean for you. You see, he forgot to make salam also, it just went away. He got so happy, so excited. He saw that the same nur, the same motivation, the same drive that it had in him, the same thing returning back to him. So excited, just went away. So, the first step is remorse. Remorse. You show remorse. You're ashamed of yourself. Don't ever, don't boast of the wrong. Don't try and appease. And then the second step then is to put a rectification process in place. Try and rectify, correct yourself. And I tell you, in every office, in every department, this happens. I bought a car from you, 1 million, right? I was supposed to pay you 10,000 every month. Now I stop paying you. Hey, now you're looking for me, high and low, can't find me, right? Then one day, each day now, I thought, hey, now, right day, each day, let's go for maaf. I said, Hazrat, make me maaf. So what the Hazrat will tell me, maaf, but the payments, you have to sign up with the payments. It's maaf, alright, you didn't pay for the time. But then now that you come to your senses, come to your realization, so you cover up. So same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrong that you have done, try to rectify, correct it. Don't leave it out now. The people that we make sure that we'll rectify, we'll correct it, we'll put procedures in place. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then why are we so unmindful? Why do we have the double standard? So you see how merciful Allah Ta'ala is. Because you put procedures in place, you show, you clean, you want to do it. You want to do it, I'll forgive you. And not only will I forgive you, I will replace your wrongs with goods. All the wrongs, do you find any creditor in the world like that? You made Toba and says, oh, all, you had all the reds. So all the reds I will change to green. You see any of that? Huh? Any person like that? Says, I'm owing you 1 million rand. So no, I'll give you back 1 million rand. Do you ever hear of that? Do you ever hear of that? Now, that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is aqa wa ke aqa. Badsha wa ke badsha. He is Rahim Kareem. He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he's so Rahim Kareem, and not to then exploit his mercy, really, he's going to be really foolish. Really, he's so merciful, he's so forgiving, he wants to forgive. But we want to get into unnecessary discussions, debates, by leave all these discussions, leave all that. Tum khuda ke saamne apne hushyari ko dikhate ho. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you want to show your intelligence, how smart you are. Leave that. Show your weakness. When we say subhanallah, what we say? Subhanallah, what we saying? We sing Allah ta'ala, you are the one that is free of all weaknesses. That means, what are you saying? All the makhluk has got some weakness. Every creation has got some limitation. I got, you got, everybody got limitation. So don't show your smartness, don't show intelligence. I'm nothing. My intelligence is nothing. My understanding is nothing. My brains are nothing. But it is just the reflection of your knowledge and your wisdom that is showing in me. Right? If you move away that reflection of your knowledge or your splendor, your beauty, I'm finished. See, a man can be so beautiful, right? So as growing up, everybody, the admiration of the world, right? And few years into old age then, his history now, proceed. So it was the beauty of Allah Ta'ala that reflected, that made the person beautiful. And as the beauty began to leave him, that reflection left him, he's gone, khalas. Allah Pak Taufeeq Naseeb Kare.